Yeah, hi everyone. Very quick poll. Who has used QGIS 3D before? Okay, cool. Quite some people. All right. Just very briefly about me. I'm a software developer. I work for Lutra Consulting. And yeah, we do QGIS software development, among other things. But the most important thing, QGIS 3D. Why do we need 3D views? There are plenty of reasons. I chose one of my favorites because 3D terrain visualization is very cool. It has a lot of use for urban planning and yeah, plenty of other applications. And QGIS has been going on for quite a lot of time now, but the 3D third dimension was always lacking. So before we had the native QGIS 3D support, there were some other free software tools that people could use. So there was this NVIS tool from GrassGIS, GVSIG had some support for 3D views. There was, and there still is a Globe plugin in QGIS itself. But the integration was never great with the rest of QGIS, and we wanted to have really this nice integrated experience like you have with all the other tools. So very quickly about history, in 2017 we had QGIS grant proposal accepted to start the initial work on QGIS 3D, and then 1 year later the first release of QGIS 3D was there in QGIS 3.0. Most recent news is that this year during the summer we had a Summer of Code project with Ismail Sunni here, you can wave to others, who has done a really great job and implemented a bunch of new nice things. So, quickly about how to use QGIS 3D. If you use some of the more recent versions, you just click the view menu, new 3D map view, and there you get like a new widget where you can see the 3D content. So it can look something like this. So on the top part, that's the usual 2D map canvas. On the bottom part, you can see the 3D view already with some 3D styling. So this is just like a bit of a zoomed in portion of that scene. So let's go slowly about like what are the pieces of the 3D scenes that we work with. So let's start with terrain. The terrain we generated based on heat maps, and so you have a raster layer with your digital terrain elevation model, and so based on that we generate this 3D mesh like you can see here on the illustration. And then on top of this mesh we need to apply some texture. This texture, we just take the 2D rendered map and we put it there. So basically, when you first time open the 3D window, you see the 2D map as usual, but with the thing that you can start turning the map even into the perspective and so on. So the terrain, you can configure it in the configuration dialog. So on the left side, you can see the, like the default view when the terrain is just flat with the texture on top of it. On the right side, when we already apply some digital elevation model there. You can also set the vertical scale to kind of make your 3D terrain look more pronounced. Now, how about the vector data? So, the key part when dealing with vectors is to use this layer styling dog widget, You can also double click on the layer to open the full dialog with properties, but this one is more handy because immediately it applies your changes. And so there is this new tab with this kind of colorful box where you can set the 3D render. So every layer, in addition to the 2D map render, it can also have a 3D map render assigned. So now for points. For points, we have three basic ways how to render them. So the first one is to just use basic symbols like spheres or cubes or cylinders and a few more options. And you just apply a color, maybe some transformation to scale them up or down, rotate and so on. And that's it. The second option is to use 3D models. So we use the asset import library to load the 3D models. So there is a wide range of models like the Collada format or the wavefront object files and maybe 20 more. These you can load and you can as well change their color. Right now there are some limitations, so you can only change the color of the whole model. You can't like change the colors of individual components. Then, yeah, thanks to Raymond, can you also wave your hand? Ah, that's true. So we also have some 3D models from the community that you can use that are included with QGIS. If you have some any suggestions, what would you like to have as 3D models, maybe you can talk to Raymond. And the most recently, we have also support for so-called billboards. And that's basically if you want to use some 2D markers to be shown in the 3D scene, this is what you get. So these are some kind of special objects or entities that whenever you move the map around and rotate it, they are always facing the camera. So they don't seem to be like from the 3D world. That's one of the new features done during the Summer of Code project. That's the billboard support is not even released yet, but it will become released in 3.10 version. So now for line rendering, there are two options right now how to do that. One is the simple lines, where you define the line width in pixels, and the width doesn't change when you zoom in or zoom out. The other option is with the buffered approach, so that what we do is just to take the line and buffer it with some distance, let's say 5 meters, and so this is the width defined in map units, so that as soon as you start zooming closer, also the line appears zoom out. The kind of unfortunate thing is that with buffered rendering, we kind of ignore the Z coordinates, but hopefully that will get fixed as well at some point. Now for polygon rendering, that's even more interesting. So there are basically four basic options what to do. The most basic one is if you use just the planar entity. So if you have, let's say, footprints of something, by default it would be shown just as a planar feature. You can use extrusion to get this kind of box shape, and the extrusion, it can be based on some, it can be either a constant height, let's say 20 meters, or you can have it based on an expression, or so it can be a data defined value. Maybe you have an attribute with a number of levels of a building, so you say that the extrusion is number of levels times, let's say, 3 meters. For more advanced use, there is support for 3D geometries. One option is to use so-called polyhedral surfaces, or some call it polygon Z. So you have objects like this, where you have like really individual pieces of the object. So these are like planes that you render. And the last one is the triangular meshes. It looks nearly the same. The only difference is that in this case, it's a really object consisting of the individual triangles. It depends on the source of the data you get. Sometimes it's like the triangular mesh, sometimes it's the polyhedral surfaces. And you can get a nice visualization like this, including roofs and everything. In one of the recent versions, we have added the highlighting of polygon edges. So this has been a very important improvement for the like rendering of buildings. This is, for example, a model of city of Prague with the buildings there. So it's one of the free models that you can download and use. Another thing for the styling is that we also support rule-based rendering. So it's not that you use just a single symbol for all the features within a layer, but you can define a bunch of rules. Every rule can have, let's say, different colors or even different types of symbols. Just a short note about the handling of Z values. So if you have true 3D coordinates, there are several ways how the Z value can be applied. So this is decided by the altitude clamping, which you can set in the layer configuration. So it can be either relative, where you also use the Z value of the terrain plus Z value of the geometry itself, or just use the absolute or clamp it to terrain. Another thing is the altitude binding, where you kind of decide whether the terrain elevation is taken just from the centroid, which is, let's say, more useful for rendering of buildings, and or the other option is to use per vertex. So for example, if you have a road, you don't want to just take a centroid of the whole road, but you want to sample the Z value from every vertex. Now for the 3D maps tools, so the basic tool, of course, is navigation. You can use a mouse or a keyboard to navigate. Now, with the not yet released version, that's another improvement from Summer of Code, you can also use on-screen controls. It's good for beginners when they are not yet completely sure about the other means of moving the map. There is identification tool, which works exactly the same way as with 2D map tool for identification. Just click on a point. It can be either on the terrain or it can be the 3D entity, and you will get the results on a dog widget. Another improvement from the Summer of Code project is the measurement tool. So now you can go around. If you can see this orange line here, click several points and get the true 3D distance. So, and for some more functionality, we have print layout support. So if you need to print maps, now you can as well. You can even put multiple views on the same 3D scene into a single print layout. You just set the view in your main window, and then get all the configuration copied to the print layout. Okay, we have support for animations. So if this works, you can define several keyframes within your animation. So let's say for the first keyframe at the time zero, you set the camera position to be here. For the next keyframe, you set the camera position somewhere else, and QGIS 3D will do the interpolation of the frames and do the hard work for you. Then we can also do export of animations. So the animation you have prepared, you don't need to export it frame by frame manually. That would be a bit tedious. You can, with this tool, create like a whole bunch of pictures in one folder, and then use some third-party tool to kind of join all the pictures together to some AVI animation or so. For some of the advanced features, it's possible to also enable terrain shading. So by default, we just render the texture as it is without applying any light on it. But in various cases, if you want to better see, let's say, like small details in the terrain model, you can enable the shading and you can see that the small differences are much easier to see, or you can even apply like some shininess to the model. As well, you can configure lights. Like by default, there is a single light on top of the scene in the center. But if you are up for something more fancy, you can change the colors of the lights or their positions and so on. So quickly about the data for 3D. One very nice source for the data is the CTGML format, or its kind of younger cousin, CTJSON. There is nowadays very nice plugin, CTJSON Loader, which with like few clicks you can load the data in QGIS, and you can as well get the data automatically styled. So for example, here, this is one of the example files from Delft, I think. And it's very handy. OpenStreetMap is a good source of buildings data, but not that many buildings have elevation information. So that's also something for the OpenStreetMap community maybe to keep working on. And for myself, I started doing like a registry of 3D data available. There is not that much there yet. So if you have some good tips with free open data, I would be happy to see some feedback from you on that. And finally, for the future, the near future is that there is another small QGIS grant to kind of improve support for large scenes, to make them load faster, to make them load in the background so it doesn't freeze your user interface. And like for the far future, we have a long wish list. Like, I'm very happy that every time I do a presentation about QGIS 3D, I need to change the wish list because there are new and new features implemented from it. So, but still, there are plenty of rendering techniques we would like to implement, like shadows or transparency, new materials, like to be able to show textured objects, and plenty of other things. Of course, support for globes. Right now, we just support like let's say local scenes which are in one like flat area. Some protocols like 3D tiles, support for point clouds, that would be amazing.
and things like animation of data within the scene. So right now you can only move the camera around, but it would be nice to be also able to, let's say, move individual objects there. And that's it. So thank you very much.
It's perfect, 20 minutes exactly, as you did. So I don't know what my function is here, but there are probably some questions, I expect. Are there? There's 5 minutes left. Okay, I count about five, I think. Start in the back.
Can you tell anything about the hardware you need? The hardware you need to do all this?
Just any ordinary laptop is fine.
The reason I ask this is, can you also run it within a VM? Without any hardware for the GPU?
Yes. Vincent says you can. I haven't tried it myself, but it should be possible if you have the, like, some extended GPU support there, or maybe it just works out of the box.
Another item for your wish list, perhaps, but have you considered procedural modeling, aka City Engine in other worlds, ability to drive 3D models?
Yes, that would
be. And a level of detail, perhaps.
That would be awesome. I will probably put it to the wish list for the next time.
What about the PostGIS 3D support? It has been improved, but how far?
This should just work out of the box. So if you have 3D geometries in PostGIS, you can just load them and they... TIN should work as well, I think. Haven't tried though.
Thanks for a nice overview. And I'm interested in this billboard implementation. Do you also implement that for the labels?
Not yet. So labels, I think that will be like the next thing that would be worth implementing with billboards. So this was kind of like first step in order to be able to also show labels later.
More questions? I think we still have time, but I left my phone on my seat.
Thank you very much. Have you considered about something about the point clouds as just displaying the point clouds over the city scale or over the small projects?
I would love to have point cloud support in QGIS. The thing is that there is kind of longer path towards that. So first of all, we kind of need to have some like support to just like for data providers to open these formats and so on, some to integrate some libraries that already work with point clouds. And then maybe the next step would be to allow like 2D and 3D rendering of them. So definitely something we would like to have, but we are not there yet. Maybe, if possible, we would try to run like a crowdfunding campaign to get like interested parties to help out with that.
Okay, because there are some other successful open source projects which could be easily integrated to QGIS, as we have in QGIS we have done it with GRASS and other projects. So I think it would make sense to build on the top of that. Just fork the project and start from there, because then you don't need to build the basic engines for that.
Yeah, definitely. Like the for point clouds especially, there is this great PDAL library or Poodle, or I don't know what's the
both are valid.
Yeah, pronunciation. And that one would be like the first thing to look at for the integration.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
Any more questions? I think we still have time. One more minute. No? Then thank you, Martin.